Now, you may have heard on our Morning Ireland this morning that the shortlist for this year's Dublin Literary Award has just been announced. I think it's fair to say that this year's list is as impressive as it is competitive. The Irish hopeful is Colm McCann's A Paragon. It's up against Girl, Woman, Other, the joint winner of the 2019 Booker Prize by Bernardine Evaristo. Other big names on the list are Colin Whitehead's The Nickel Boys and On Earth We Are Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. Add to those the lesser known Lost Children Archive by Valeria Luiselli and Hurricane Season by Fernanda Melchor, and you have six very, very good books vying for this very important prize and very, very nice prize in terms of the value of it that's involved. But with me this evening to bring us through the shortlist is the chair of the judging panel, Chris Morrish. We'll dig a little bit deeper into that list. I suppose we have to start with close to home, I think, in this particular case with Colm McCann, Chris. But what a list! What a list it is.
Yeah, no, it's a great list. And, you know, I mean, everything's been so difficult this year. But to organize a literary award that involves libraries all around the world in the middle of a pandemic is just a remarkable feat, you know, and I just take my hats off to Dublin City Library for that. You know, we have 69 libraries around the world nominating books for this award from 30 countries. Doing that during a pandemic is no joke. And you're right. We've come up with a great list, I think.
Yeah, and a very competitive list. I loved A Paragon by Colm McCann, I must say. A very interestingly structured book.
It's an incredible book. I mean, it's made up of 1,001 chapters. And it's just so beautifully and tightly structured. Story of two men, one Palestinian, one Israeli, on either side of the conflict. Both have lost children in the conflict and how they come together. And he just weaves this into this story that is masterfully told. I mean, to write a book in 1,001 chapters is no joke. But it's also very, very moving. So it has this technical finesse, but also this kind of deep emotional core. It's a really remarkable book.
Yeah, and references within it to the two children that are both of whom are killed, and you see things like school reports and that. Because it's kind of, it's this mix of fact and fiction, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's based on a true story. I mean, these are two men who became peace activists as a result of having lost their children, and came together. And so he did a lot of work on this, you know, to really get this right, because, you know, it's a difficult enough thing to write about. You know, somebody, you know, from Dublin, lives in New York, writing about this conflict that is so deeply embedded and so complex.
Yeah.
And you really get a sense of the place as well. You get a sense of the territory, you know, of the Palestinian territory and of Israel, and what what it's like to drive along a road when you know there's going to be roadblocks.
Okay, let me move on from any sense of bias towards the local guy, but of course I suppose it's natural that we might have a little bit of high hopes for him. But the 2019 Booker winner, Girl, Woman, Other, is another brilliant book. I loved this book, and I loved speaking with Bernardine Evaristo, who we spoke to her on the programme. But famously, she shared the prize with Margaret Atwood's The Testaments at the time. She's giving us Evaristo here. She's giving us a very different view of our neighbours, isn't she? Britain that maybe we don't hear and see written about very often.
No, she is. And, you know, the first thing you said there, I love this book. So many people love this book. This is a book that people really have warmed to. And, I mean, the remarkable thing about it is it's, again, like the Colm McCann, it is extremely well put together as a book. You know, here's a novel that has, you know, 12 main chapters, each of which features a different character and telling their life stories, women of color in Britain, telling their life stories. And then she just weaves this together. And you think, how is this character ever going to, you know, connect with this character? And she does it. And she does it so effortlessly.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful book.
When I spoke with her about the book, I asked her precisely that, about all of these different characters. Now, she has a background in theatre and in drama. And I asked her about how that might fit into giving voice to 12 different characters.
So Girl, Woman, Other has 12 primarily Black British women, and they are all equal in the novel. You know, they're all equally the protagonists of the novel. And as a writer, I like to inhabit my characters in much the same way that I did when I was an actor. I like to get inside them and to write them from the inside. And there is always a performative element to my characters on the page. And all my books, this is my eighth book, I've written many, many characters. And I feel that they always come alive in the way that characters do when we're performing them. And that is definitely rooted in my theatre background.
Do you stomp around the study then in various character modes?
I have done. My last book, Mr. Loverman, was about a gay 74-year-old Caribbean London man. And my husband would come home and I would have this character's voice in my head, Barrington, and I would say to him, "Oh, hello, darling, how you doing?" And we just had this laugh because, you know, I'd been inside this character's head all day, and then that was what was coming out of my mouth. With Girl, Woman, Other, there are 12 of them, so I would say that no single character inhabited me in quite the same way. But
so your husband was not greeted by a dozen different people.
No, he wasn't. But they are inside me for sure. Yeah. You know.
Oh, she was such a lot of fun, Bernadine Evaristo, speaking to me on the programme there at the time of the Booker Prize win in 2019 about Girl, Woman, Other. But here she is then, up again in this shortlist. Could she be a joint winner, Chris?
No.
Could you be clearer about that, please?
I think when you have a literary award, you have a winner and you have to choose the winner and you keep the judges in the room until you get a winner.
Okay. There will be no joint winner.
She could be a winner, but it would be on her own if she were. That way.
Okay. Well, of course, I presume you think all six could be a winner. Absolutely.
And that's the qualification of being on the shortlist. It's not a winner in five also-rans. These are five books that all could win.
Yeah. Lost Children Archive by Valeria Luiselli. She's a Mexican writer, but the story is an American road trip.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's a fascinating writer because, I mean, she's born in Mexico. She grew up a lot in the States, but she also, her family was in the diplomatic service. So she grew up also in South Korea and South Africa and Costa Rica. This is a real tour de force because you have two characters who are sound recordists. And it's basically a road trip of a novel initially. They're going across America to Arizona. One wants to make a documentary about children who are coming across the desert from Mexico and from Central America. The other one, the husband, wants to make a documentary about the lost Apaches. So he wants to make a sound documentary about absence. But she does amazing things. There's an entire chapter in the novel made up of Polaroid photographs. There are sections of the novel where because they're traveling across the country, they had the possessions in boxes. So you have these kind of archival sections of the novel. And if that all sounds really kind of technical and fiddly, it's really, really moving as a novel as well.
Yeah, it has the sound, even as you were describing it there, I thought that sounds as if it could be incredibly moving. That anything that with that type of archival material will have strength for sure. Valeria Luiselli, the author there, and Lost Children Archive. One book in translation, obviously the prize can be divided to 3-2, isn't it? 75,000, 25,000. Isn't that the way it's divided between?
That's right, and the prize is kind of unique in that respect. And you know, I know years that when it's gone to a book in translation, I mean, the translator's been as happy as the author.
For
you know,
sure.
Because translators The potential
winner here is Sophie Hughes as translator, having translated Fernanda Melchor's book Hurricane Season. What's the book about here?
Yeah, this is her first book in translation. It's set in the kind of border country in Mexico. She's also a Mexican writer. And I suppose the thing I would compare it to would be something like Roberto Bolaño's 2666, if people remember that great arc of a novel. It is grueling in lots of ways. There's a touch of magic realism in it, but it's a world where life is cheap and all sorts of degradation happens, and yet it's a literal hurricane of a novel. You know, it's one of those novels that has very few full stops in it. It just whirls along. It carries you along. It's grueling and sort of thrilling at the same time, like a hurricane, I suppose.
All right. So again, each one that you describe, as you describe it, you're doing an incredible job at being impartial, Chris, because each one you describe, I think, oh, he thinks that one's going to win. So far, I've got four winners. Am I going to get a fifth and a sixth winner? I think I probably am. Ocean Vuong, another writer that we spoke to on the programme here as well. On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous. This is an interesting story, an intergenerational story, touching on the consequences of the Vietnam War. But the way he does it is extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. And it's actually his first novel. He's a poet. And, you know, I mean, there's some people sort of, you know, might think that, you know, poets maybe shouldn't write novels. This, you know, disproves that theory with style. Like, he won the T.S. Eliot Prize back in 2016 for his poetry collection, Night Sky with Exit Wounds, sorry. But this, it's beautifully written. It's and again, it's a part of America we don't see. It's about a Vietnamese American young man growing up in kind of rural Connecticut, and he's kind of working in tobacco farms, and he's, you know, has a friend who lives in a trailer, and his mother and her friends kind of work in these kind of Vietnamese nail salons, and it's this whole world that you think, that's not in America, I recognize or know, but you know it's there. It's in some ways it's a kind of gay coming of age story. It's about a young man meeting his first love, but it's a powerful novel. But just beautiful. It was one of those novels where you just stop and kind of fold over the corner of the page because you'd hit a sentence that was just so beautifully written.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the fifth winner you've given me. I'm guessing Colson Whitehead's The Nickel Boys. He's obviously probably the biggest literary name on the list, author of The Underground Railway. He's nominated, though, in this case, for The Nickel Boys. Strong resonances with us here in Ireland, actually, the theme of institutional abuse.
Yeah. I mean, Colson Whitehead, I mean, I think, you know, this is his eighth novel, I think, or seventh or eighth novel. The Underground Railroad, of course, was the one that, you know, a lot of people really, you know, at first really noticed him here, I think, won the Pulitzer Prize. You know, this one won the Pulitzer as well. You know, it's set in an institution for boys in Florida. And where the Underground Railroad had almost this sort of magic realist sort of flair, this is written with just so much restraint. It's just such a clean, sharp novel. But what it's dealing with, the abuse, is just so horrific that the simplicity of it just hits you like a, you know, it's like a kick in the ribs. It is a really, really powerful novel, kind of short, sharp shock of a novel.
Well done at wonderful impartiality, Christopher Morash. Thanks for speaking with us this evening.
Thanks, Sean.
Chris Morash there, the chair of the International Judging Panel for this year's Dublin Literary Award. They will select one winner. It'll be announced by the patron of the award, the Lord Mayor of Dublin, on Thursday, the 20th of May, and that will happen during the International Literature Festival, ILF Dublin, which runs from the 20th through until the 30th of May.